May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. John the Baptist is certainly one of the most unforgettable characters in Scripture. Down through the ages, artists have loved to paint him, garments of camel hair, leather girdle around his waist, chomping away at locusts and wild honey. However you approach it, he seems to be heaven-bent on catching people's attention. And of course, that's the way it's been throughout the ages with all prophets. They dress funny, they act strange, they do things to shock people into hearing God's word. They do anything they can to throw cold water in the face of apathy. Anything they can do to shock the dull sensibilities of our everyday lives. So good old John is right in there slugging with the best of them. He's shocking, he's surprising, he's loud, he's obnoxious, he's even more than just a little bit arrogant. And he will do anything necessary in order to wake people up, anything to get folks to hear that God's present. God is present. God is active in their lives and in the lives of the nation. In today's reading, we're told the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to John. They come for baptism. And it's pretty important that we don't forget that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are two major sects in Judaism, rivaling one another, vying for the religious affections of the people. For both of them to come together to John for baptism is sort of like saying the Republicans and the Democrats, the conservatives and the liberals, Rush Limbaugh and Rachel Maddow. They decide to get together, and not only that, they decide to join the same political action committee. But they do get together, and they come to John, and they look for something. And what do they find? They find a man who is utterly driven by a passionate concern for justice. They find a man who was ready for God to act, so ready he was willing to do anything and everything he could do to push God to act, to push God into acting, to force God's hand. John was setting the stage for God to begin a new exodus, leading the children of God out of bondage to their Roman overlords, just as they had been let out of bondage to their Egyptian overlords a millennium before. John was setting the stage for God to lead them through the waters of the Jordan, just as 1,000 years earlier they had been led through those very waters into a promised land. You see, that is what John was all about. John may have looked like a wild man, but he was far from it. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say John was incredibly shrewd, calculated by what he was doing as a plan to get his message across to those who had ears to hear and eyes to see. John's message was plain and simple. It was a message that any of the people could see if they only bothered to pay attention. John was proclaiming that God was about to reinstate, recreate the events of the Exodus. In his actions, John was showing that the God of Israel was always and always would be, first and foremost, God of freedom, a God of liberation, a God of justice, a God who was wild and passionate about the rights of the poor. about the dispossessed in their land. John was engaged in nothing less than a revolution. And while it might have looked crazy, it was anything but. John's plan was carefully planned and thought out. He called for a revolution. A revolution, an insurrection, sedition against a Roman Empire. That's the significant thing about John. And it wasn't that he baptized in the Jordan River. The significant thing about John was that he baptized in the Jordan River. The people knew what the Jordan River meant. By leading the people out into the wilderness to the Jordan, he was preparing for them to reenact the Exodus. By baptizing them in that river, he was reminding them that it was through those very waters that they had passed under the watchful eye of Moses. It was at the waters of the River Jordan that the people of Israel came under the leadership of Joshua. Joshua, Jesus, who led them into a promised land. It's easy for us to get caught up in the trappings of John and to miss the essential message he offered. The message that God, the God and Father of Jesus, is the God and Father of Moses. The God who liberates his people from every form of bondage and oppression, physical and spiritual, as if those two could be separated ever. It's this liberating power of an active God that we find proclaimed in John's ministry. It's this liberating power of an active God that we too now proclaim. And we proclaim it as we baptize. Later at the 10:30 service, we will baptize Nora and Charles into the liberating life that all of us are called to share. For in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, we find the promise of freedom. In the person of Jesus of Nazareth, we find fulfilled that new exodus out of bondage. In the person of Joshua of Nazareth, through our own baptisms, we are led by a new Joshua, a Jesus, into promised land. John came making ready the path for this new Joshua. And like John, we too prepare the way. We are to straighten the pathways. John's calling is ours. We prepare God's people, all of God's people, for God's saving activity. To call God's people, all of God's people, to a renewed awareness of covenantal responsibilities that all of us share in our baptism, responsibilities that are ours, regardless of race, gender, nationality, regardless of even religion. For if we do believe that we are created in the image of God, then that is the image we are called to be. What better Sunday to hear of this than on the Sunday after Nelson Mandela died? He was a wonderful example of somebody trying to live into the covenant of God's kingdom. As Desmond Tutu wrote about it in the Washington Post, the truth is that 27 years that the Madiba spent in the belly of the apartheid beast in prison deepened his compassion, his capacity to empathize with others. On top of all the learnings he had about leadership and culture when he was growing up, prison seemed to add an understanding to him about the human condition. Tutu continues, like a precious diamond honed deep beneath the surface of the earth, The Madiba emerged from prison in January 1990, virtually flawless, to take on the task of the liberation of a people in South Africa. Instead of calling for a pound of flesh, he proclaimed the message of forgiveness and reconciliation. He inspired others to follow his example by extraordinary nobility of spirit. He embodied, he proclaimed, he walked the talk. He invited his former jailer to attend his presidential inauguration as a VIP guest. He visited the widow of the high priest of apartheid, Betsy Verwoerd, in the white Afrikaner enclave of Orania. He had a unique flair for spectacular, unbelievably symbolic acts of human greatness. They would have been gauche to others. Who will forget the electrifying moment in the 1995 Rugby World Cup final when he stepped out on the Ellis Park pitch with Captain Francois Pierre's number 6 Springbok jersey on his back. It was a gesture that did more for nation building and for reconciliation than any number of a preacher's sermon and any number of a political speech. So, this Sunday, John reminds us of something important about our very nature as people of God, people called to liberate. That's our nature when we are true to it. Because John reminds us it is in the very nature of God's person to be compassionate. That's our nature when we're true to it, to show mercy to those who are oppressed, to offer reconciliation in times of bitter conflict. That's our nature. Because as John reminds us, it is the very nature of God's person to raise up the downcast, and thus it is our nature to lift up the lowly through our every action and our every word, our every gesture and our every breath. That's our calling. That is who Nora and Charles are called to be as human beings. That's what we are all called to be as human beings. It's the way we are made by God. May we, with John, prepare God's people, all of God's people, to be who they truly are. May we, with John, set the stage once more for God to act in our lives and in the life of our world, today, tomorrow, and on every day of our lives. Amen.